This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning. So there's nobody in his spitting zone this morning, eh? It will be cooler, you know, obviously. Bit of moisture, you know, the cool wind. It's quite hot in Swakop. So my name is Ruan, for those of you who don't know me. I'm not the pastor of the church. They all gone along with the elders, you know, I think they're in like a bit of a boot camp. I don't know exactly. I saw in the first service that they sent all their wives, though, just to make sure I'm talking the truth. So I wasn't reprimanded half time, so I hope it went well. So, this morning's sermon, you know, it started off in a strange place. My topic is, it's useless to aim. And it started off on YouTube. So, the sermon is not on YouTube, I hope. Yet, maybe, the first one, but I was watching a clip of a guy that says it's useless to aim. And he's talking about a firearm. All right, a handgun. So we're not here to talk about pros and cons of handguns and things like that. But let's say police officers need a handgun. So let's just take it from there. Certain laws, like I'm sure in America, the laws are a little bit more lenient or so. The Lone Star State, I'm sure. Anyway, but it doesn't matter. We're not talking about weapons this morning. But the thing that the gentleman said was, it is useless to aim. And you know, when you read that title and it's with regards to a weapon, you think to yourself, but there's a bit of cognitive dissonance taking place in your head. Right? There's not that dissonance. There's not a homeostasis between the two thoughts or... The thoughts collide. Is that a better description, Wolf? Isn't that right? Anyway, so there's this bit of a cognitive dissonance between shooting a firearm without aiming. So who of you have ever shot a firearm in their lives? Okay, how many of those times did you at least try to aim? 100%. I'm pretty sure 100%. When you read the title, immediately you think to yourself, but how can any self-respecting person, or responsible person for that matter, shoot a firearm without aiming first? And or how can you ever in your life be a good shot if you don't care to aim? So I watched the clip and it made a lot of sense. Right. But we'll get to that. It's a bit of a crazy story. But I'll work it in a little bit later. So, let's start with the word of the Lord in Romans 10. So those who have your Bibles or your applications on your phone, Romans 10. Verse 14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. So this is definitely a passage I'm sure some of you have already heard sermons about. All right. It's quite well known. And those that have had the, I don't want to say displeasure, hopefully, but you know, of listening to me preach before, I tend to go to the Old Testament. I don't know why. It's just, I'm so fascinated by it. I think it's because, you know, just searching for Christ in those pages. But it's magnificent. But this is New Testament, And this is a well-known scripture. So I'm trying it with something a little bit new this morning. So, but before I, you know, when preparing for a scripture, for a sermon, I really go over the text, you know, multiple times. Before and after relevant texts, you know, certain commentaries about it. I don't try and spend too much time in the commentaries. So there's a lot of work because, you know what, I don't want to dishonor God when I stand here. You know, I didn't go to sermon school or seminary school. I have no formal training as such. You know, even speaking in front of people, I don't know, it kind of happens. Anyway, so the big thing is that I want to bring honor to the Lord's name. You know, I don't want to stand here and preach falseness or false words, doctrine. So, you know, I really spend time in the Word with this. And I'm sure you all agree with me that you don't want me to stand here and preach falseness, eh? Or falsehood. And I'm pretty sure no respectable pastor can stand in front of the church and not bring something that is pure and holy of the Lord. And I also think to a great extent, and I'm sure you agree with me, that that preparing for the sermon just, you know, it just helps you with the Holy Spirit. It just helps you to prepare that what the Lord wants. And just by saying that, I also want to just comment on that with our small group leaders as well. You know, come prepared. You know, search the scriptures. Just bring the word that's been prepared. You know. All right. So. So, and like I said, I don't think you can really become a very good preacher unless you spend time in the Word. But with all that, the Lord asked me something. And it's going to be actually a very hectic question. And you might be shocked, but remember, I received it firsthand. You must imagine how shocked I was. And what the Lord laid on my heart was, is it profitable for you to preach? He asked me, is it profitable for you to preach? Is there use in you preaching? You know, your knee-jerk reaction will be yes, you know. Somewhere, some seed is going to fall. But I've learned that when God asks you a question where the answer seems quite obvious, there's something more. God doesn't ask you, you know, the Lord Almighty doesn't come to you and ask a question that the answer is so obvious that you need a nanosecond to answer. There's something there. All right, so what was there? So yeah, just before we continue, just on that note of profitability of the word, you know, I know the scripture in 2 Timothy. Let's read it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It is profitable. So what is God asking me? Back to this YouTube clip. The guy says it doesn't matter if you aim, and this makes a lot of sense. It doesn't matter if you aim 1 second, and if you aim 10 minutes, if you move the weapon before you fire, it's useless. You understand what I'm saying? You can aim for that bullseye, but when you pull the trigger and you jerk your hand, your aiming was useless. You will not hit where you were aiming at. Let me give you some facts. So this is hard-earned facts, eh? This is not Googled. This is me taking the concordance and searching it through. So it took me a while. This is going to be over in two sentences. All right, so. How many times do you think the word preach and alterations of that, or different forms of that word, is used in the Bible? 168. Okay. And here it is. How many times does the word to listen or hear or forms thereof occur in the Bible? 1,564 times. 9 times more. What I'm telling you is that it's very important for me to take the scripture and to do expository preaching about it, but it's 9 times as important for you to listen. Because it doesn't help me aiming for 10 minutes, it doesn't help me preaching for 5 seconds or for 9 hours. If I didn't listen beforehand, it's not profitable. If I preach for 10 seconds or 9 hours and you don't listen, my preaching was useless. It's unprofitable for you. And this is where we need to get to. This is the fact of what Scripture tells us. It needs to be embedded with us, is we're not here to hear. We are here to listen. So why is it important for us to listen? We read now in Romans 10, it says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe? And how can they believe if they've not heard? And how can they hear if nobody preached to them?" We live in a society where you can download a sermon very rapidly. We live in a society where you can listen to gospel songs on any type of social media platform. We're in a society where we have all that we need to hear. But do we listen? Because the issue comes, if we do not listen, how will we be saved? If we do not listen, how do we believe? And if we do not believe, how will we be saved? You know, okay, let me not go too deep into that. No. So what I believe is that what the Lord asked me is that, do I have the ability to listen? Do you have the ability to listen? Are we as a church, do we still have the ability to listen? And I think we're struggling. Why do I say that? I think, and I believe, that oftentimes we do not know what we believe. In 2 Peter 3 verse 16 it says, 2 Peter 3 verse 16, "There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant an unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. We get to this point where we suddenly hear a piece of doctrine, and because we've read the Bible but we've not listened, suddenly this changes our doctrine. It moves us. We suddenly think of different things. You know, I'm just going to mention this, and I'm last night we had some people over, and the one gentleman spoke about another gentleman that told him that, you know, the word Jesus is not the right name. And like I said, I want to be sensitive with this. You must understand, and this is a bit of a side note, is that the Old Testament was mostly written in Hebrew, all right, and the New Testament in Greek. Okay, so in the Old Testament, you have a lot of words for God. Jehovah Rapha, my God that heals. Jehovah Jireh, my God that provides. You must understand that it is a description of his character. When Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. Not that is God's first name, but that describes God. Jesus comes from a Latin word. Yeshua comes from a Hebrew word. Jesus means God saves. Yeshua means God saves. Emmanuel means God with us. It is a description of Christ. In Revelation 19, verse 12 and 13, it says, and his eyes were as fire, and he had multiple crowns on his head, and nobody knows his name except himself, but he will be known as the Word of God. What I'm telling you is if you are not familiar with Scripture, and you've read through it, but you've not listened, you're going to come to a place where a gentleman tells you the name of Jesus is not sufficient, and you are going to be shocked. But what I'm telling you is the following, is that nobody knows his name except himself. And it's important for us to know that. Because, you know, I come from a very, very traditional Afrikaner type of upbringing. And I think I've probably grew up in the best type of environment you can imagine. You know, I'm thinking in Afrikaans and I have to translate in English. You know, there was no hesitancy in my mind ever if my parents loved me. You know, they weren't perfect, but you know, they were pretty close. All right. The thing is that, you know, I didn't call my father on his first name. If President Hage Geingob comes in here, I'm not going to say, hey, Hage. How on earth are you going to call the God of everything on his first name? That was a bit of a tangent. Sorry. Okay. We do not know why we believe sometimes. You know, like I said, I grew up in a very traditional home, and we had this belijdenis van die geloof. All right. Say again. Confession of faith, or the disciples' creed, as some know it. All right, so there's different forms of it. You know, the Roman Catholics has one, and the Pentecostals have one, and so. But in essence, this is not what the disciples said in a letter to the Greeks. But this is a combination of the doctrine that they preached. And how many of you know it? How many of you grew up with it? You know, I had to learn it out of my head before I could get all my stars to go through Sonderschool. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, was born from the Virgin Mary. You know, and so it goes on. It is a confession, but you know what? Every single line is being attacked. I believe in God. The world tells you there is no God. There was this massive bang, and then everything fell into place. I'm sorry. It takes a lot of faith to believe that, because you can't even explain what banged in the first place and how it got there. But I'm pretty sure that when God says, let there be light, there was some power that came out of that. And yes, probably there was a bang, but no great bang that creates anything. God Almighty. You know, we come to certain times in our lives where we're struggling. I'm thinking of Freddie now. You know, and then you sometimes think, but is God Almighty? Because why doesn't he change this? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is God the Father? Why is Father being attacked? Why do we think that if everything is not working well, we think, oh, but is God a loving Father? Every single line is being attacked in the world. But do we recognize it? Do you hear it when somebody says it? Do you listen? Because how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? We've all heard sermons about the omnipotence of God. His all-powerful nature. But we still get to this place where the world tells us, but he falls short of this. Just because there's a kamstacher logical type of thing they would have done, giving attributes to God that us humans have. We need to listen. The other thing that the Lord just pressed on my heart here with this is that we as a church, we as a living church with a living relationship with God, do we listen? How many of you have ever heard somebody speak in tongues or sing or any one of those? I've heard it a lot, and we're not here to talk about tongues and the gift of tongues and things like that. I'm not here to do that. We don't have enough time for that, unfortunately. Well, the question I want to ask you, and what I feel the Lord asked me, is out of those times that you heard somebody speak in tongues, how many times did you hear somebody interpret that? Because we love speaking. We love talking. But we don't listen. You're telling me there's nobody that listens to it And when the Holy Spirit functions, that the Spirit of the Lord doesn't tell you, listen here, listen to what I've, the mysteries that I've proclaimed. Are we losing the ability to listen because we want to talk? What are you listening to at home? What are you listening to at work? You might hear your colleague talking about how bad things are going, or how badly their husband treats them, or how badly the kids' manners are. That's what you hear, but what is the Lord telling you to listen to? Because they are complaining about their husband not serving or helping them around the house, but you listening to this person not experiencing love, not even knowing what love is. God is giving you a double-edged sword to speak into that person's life and say, listen here, I understand you feel unloved by your husband, but do you know the love of Christ? Do you know it? She might be saying, but you know, I don't have a boyfriend. And she keeps on nagging about other women doing other things and having boyfriends. What has the Lord, why has the Lord put you in that situation? Why you? Why your shoulder? Why your ear? What do you have to listen to? Because you know what? We give advice. And I do it freely. I don't ask any money for advice. Because I just aim. I've not listened. And I'm not saying it's ungodly advice, I hope. But all I'm saying is, you know, like Job, you know, I read through Job and I think to myself, oh my word, I would have said exactly the same things. And when you read commentaries, you think, they say, but you shouldn't have said that. And I think, yes, but, you know, 90% of those things I agree with. I don't know the mysteries of God. I don't know the time and place. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said, I have to go because I will send him to help you, the helper, and he will bring unto remembrance that which I've told you. When you read through the word, listen. I'm not saying understand, but listen. What is the Lord saying to you? I'm not angry. Does it sound like I'm angry? No, I say to my kids quite a lot, listen, you know, because they're quite small, so, luister for papa. I don't want them just to hear me, they need to listen, you know? Anyway. So it's quite disrespectful to not to listen to a person when they're talking to you. And it comes in a lot of shapes and forms. Where it is that you think you know what they want to say. And by saying that, I just want to tell you, husbands, when your wife wants to talk to you about something, don't always equate it to an emotional bomb of a person or a beauty queen. Listen to what she is telling you. And woman, when your husband comes to you and wants to talk about an issue, don't equate all his issues to some or other ape-like character as if evolution exists. Wat sê ek, Mark? Reg. Because you will not listen to what that person is saying. Because you come with a preconceived idea and a pre-generated answer. And you know what? That argument or that discussion is literally useless. Because that's what the person wanted to hit, they've missed because you don't care to listen. Malachi 2, verse 2. If you will not listen, if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, if you will disrespect me by not listening to me, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. The consuming fire. Then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I've already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. I will curse your blessings. This is harsh, but this is the word, eh? Stand stark. Isaiah 2, verse 6 to 8. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from the east and of fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. What I am not saying, listen to me, is that riches and gold and silver is bad. What I'm saying, it is not the best litmus test to know if God agrees with you, or I say a welbeha in your head, if he is pleased in you. It is not. When things are going well, it doesn't mean God is pleased with you. Just the same as when things aren't going well, that God is displeased with you. We've heard Freddie spoke now. And you know, you don't know Freddie. Or some of you do, obviously. But I do spend time with him. And you know what? I don't think God is angry with Freddie. This weekend they fed hundreds of kids, Freddie, in the DRC. Freddie takes homeless people and gives them a shower at his home. He's in a much better place than us, including me. But we don't envy his position. But he's in a much better place. And I'm bringing honor to Freddie, because the Lord says we should honor him. But we're thanking Christ that there are people like Freddie, because it teaches us things. That our character might not be strong enough to withstand. Jesus loves Freddy. Jesus loves you. Listen. Listen if God says, I am pleased. Send you signs. Freddie, can you play a bit of guitar for us, maybe? You know, we must learn to listen, you know. When you open your Bible, what does it profit you? if you don't care enough to listen? What does it profit you if you don't prepare yourself to listen? You can stand. Stand for me, please. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to read it from the 12th verse. I want you to listen. Put on then as God's chosen ones. I'm going to stop it there. Listen when there's a greeting in the word. When Paul starts his letters with a greeting in the epistles, read it. It's magnificent. Don't skip through to get to the point of the letter to Ephesus. Read it. It is mind-blowing. Listen to what the word says, because every word is profitable if we care to listen. Colossians 3, verse 12. And put on then, as God's chosen ones, He chose you by your name. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. There's a whole year's worth of sermon in that first part of the passage. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That is a confession of faith right there. Next week, we're starting with our global prayer and fast. And, you know, fasting is not, it is a Christian thing to do. But it is not only Christians that fast. The world has taken, like many other things, it's taken fasting and has made it a health regime. Intermittent fasting. It's taken it and used it as a political weapon. Fasting has this amazing ability to bring you to a place to listen. But we oftentimes start fasting because we want God to answer us. So if He has to answer, it means we had to talk first, meaning that He had to listen. It doesn't work like that. Listen, we're starting this global prayer and fast, and this piece of scripture tells us we need corporate meditation on His word. We need, as one body, in harmony, we need to meditate on His word. And I trust that the Lord places on your heart to listen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I ask you, Father, to help us, Father, to break down these preconceived ideas, Father. This thing, Father, where we think that we have heard this multiple times, Father, but help us not to hear, Father, but help us to listen. Help us, Father, not to aim uselessly, Father, but help us, equip us, Father, with this ability to hold our hands steady, Father. Help us with this ability, Father, to listen, Father, diligently. Because listening to you, Father, gives us hope, Father, and makes us trust you, Father, and that, Father, that is what brings liberty, Father. Is that what saves us, Father? Father, where this world comes, Father, and just constantly bombards our mind, Father, and Father, and just constantly there's bombardment of information, Father, help us, Father, to come to a place where we can listen. Where we can listen to you, Father, where we can be comfortable to have prayer sessions where we are quiet. Father, I just want to honor families, Father, and Father, I pray healing over families, Father, where daughters might feel that parents aren't listening, Father, or children feel disrespected or unloved because their voice is not heard, Father. Father, I ask you, Father, to help us to listen. Help us to listen to our colleagues, Father, and our friends, Father, our co-workers, our bosses, our workers, Father, just to be sensitive, Father. We can pick up that double-edged sword that you've placed in our hands, Father. Make us sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.